Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
After yesterday's deadline passed without Dak and the Cowboys agreeing on a long-term extension, his older brother, Tad Prescott, tweeted, quote, "There's a reason I was never a Dallas Cowboys fan growing up or before they drafted Dak. And after today, who knows how much longer I'll be cheering for them." And according to Jane Slater, Dak wanted to get a deal done at the last minute, but it was just too late and they ran out of time. So, Skip, I do want to start with you. And trust me, I saw the photo of you laying on the ground.
Yep.
You posted on social media, defeated. How did this make you feel?
Figuratively, I'm still prone on the ground. I'm out. And I tweeted a picture because Hazel walked into the picture and starts licking my face to revive me. Like she thought I'd passed out because I am. So, Mr. Sharp, there were two flashpoint moments yesterday. After a year and 3 months of talking and talking and talking and talking about this story, till both of us are like cowboy blue in the face. Mm-hmm. First came Jane Slater's tweet, and I went from elation because it hit me for a split second. Dak wanted to get a deal done. Mm-hmm. Maybe there was some thawing. Maybe there was some compromising. Is it possible they just ran right up against the 4 Eastern deadline and they just didn't get finished? And then I sat back and started thinking, not Jerry Jones. All he does is make deals on and off the field. On the football field and in the oil field, he just makes deals. Mm-hmm. He's not going to blow a deadline for something this important. Todd France is a super agent. He represents Aaron Donald, DeAndre Hopkins, and Fletcher Cox. He's not going to blow a deadline. It can't be.
Right.
And then I hit the floor because I hit abject deflation when I saw the tweet from the older brother of Dak Prescott named Tad Prescott. And that's when it hit me that the bad blood has gone from dripping to gushing, mm-hmm. gushing, because I believe that Tad Prescott had just talked to his younger brother, Dak Prescott, and I believe he was speaking for Dak Prescott when he tweeted. Mm-hmm. What does Shannon Sharp always tell me? Anybody close,
family,
sibling, anybody, yep. You know, then you're basically, everybody's going to leap to the conclusion you are speaking for because you have spoken to.
Yep.
Am I right?
Absolutely.
And I leaped to that conclusion and I leaped right over the cliff onto the floor. That's where I am because this was a dark day for Cowboy Nation. This feels like the beginning of the end.
Because his tweet didn't sound like the deal was close.
Not at all. So in the end, as I respect hugely Jane Slater's reporting. She does an excellent job. And I believe one side or the other told her, we actually tried to get the deal done. I'm going to just guess that it came more from the Jerry Stevens side because they are taking a PR beating. They are right now the easiest targets in sports because it's easy to say, why didn't you just pay the man?
Right.
And they are saying, well, gee, at the last second, we actually went back one more time and said, here's the deal, mm-hmm. but it's pretty much the same deal they were offering.
Right.
Do I think it was a fair deal? I do. I'm not going to say it was an all-time great, you know, the offer you can't refuse.
Right.
It wasn't that.
It was a respectable deal.
It was respectable because it was 35 and 35 mm-hmm. for the first 2 years. If you add those two up, that's $70 million. The tags, if you go 1 and 1 for the next 2 years, 31-4 and 37-7.
Right.
So the 35 and 35, if I'm doing the math correctly, is a little bit more right. than the two tags. So that was fair. And if Jane Slater's reporting is right, and I do believe it, $80 million guaranteed at signing is significantly more than Carson Wentz
absolutely.
Or Jared Goff got.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just say it's a credible deal. Mm-hmm. It's a fair deal. And I believe Dak and his agent had dug in because he's saying, I'm better than this. Mm-hmm. I'm way better than these
right.
guys. Even though my average annual will be above them, mm-hmm. I want to go north of 40. Mm-hmm. I want to get up at least in the Patrick Mahomes region. This is where Dak lost me. This is where I'm disappointed in him and his agent because I do think it's still a big deal to be the quarterback of America's team. I still think it's a big deal to be able to quarterback what Pro Football Focus calls next year, the 3 best wideouts in the game. And I do think it's a big deal to get to have 12, 13, 14 off-the-field commercials mm-hmm. that you're making, national TV commercials. I'm not counting that as part of your package. It's just part of the aura and mystique of being the Cowboy quarterback. So in the end, it's a horrible outcome because now he's on the tag and up against it for two straight years, we think. And the only way out of this is to go win a Super Bowl. And I don't love the odds. I'm not going to proclaim them. I thought they could get to the Super Bowl last year. Maybe if they had, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Maybe that would have just forced Jerry to go right over the edge and say, I got to give you 40-plus million. I think he would have been more prone to do it. But in the end, I'm going to say this one more time. I saw this bad blood coming. Mm-hmm. It started back in September.
Yep.
I believe that Jerry thought a deal was almost done mm-hmm. because he said it's imminent after game number one. And all of a sudden, Todd France goes back and says, Jerry, the price just went way
yep.
up.
Yep.
And Jerry has a quick temper, and he's got a lasting temper. See Jimmy Johnson.
Uh-huh.
And once he lost his temper, I think this deal had no chance of getting done. And once it was lost, what did I suggest to you? Why don't they just cut bait here? If this is never going to work out, if this is the beginning of the end of Dak Prescott in Dallas, go get Tom Brady. I'm not laughing or joking about this.
Right.
I'm not being facetious. Go get Brady, pay him 25 and 25, a lot less than the tag, 34.1,
right.
and take your shots. Take two Super Bowl shots, a lot of talent, defense is better. Mm-hmm. See if he could do for Dallas what a lot of people think he's going to do in Tampa Bay.
Right.
Just take two shots with Tom Brady, then start over. Go get somebody in the draft. Go sign the best free agent, whatever, because this feels sour to me. This feels like spilled milk that's right. going sour fast,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
What? Skip. So I'm left feeling like it's a dirty thing, like everybody done each other wrong here.
Skip, you guys could have had this contract done. Had you done what you were supposed to
yep.
do, not let Wentz, not let Goff sign before Dak, because once he saw those guys, he wasn't going to take less than them with 2 years left on his contract. You could have had this done and moved on, and we could have been talking about, oh, everything's going to be, as you like to say, you're going to be able to launch into the season.
Yep.
But because you didn't, and plus Dak is looking, he says, hold on, Jerry Jones, you've had no problem paying them offensive linemen.
That
you had no problem
yep.
playing Zeke. No problem playing D-Law
yep.
and Jalen Smith. Now it comes to me. It seems to be a problem. It seems to be that you're unsure.
Yep.
Skip, this notion that they were up against, Skip, it's like at the beginning of the year, the teacher gave you an assignment. Say, you're going to have a term paper. It's due on the last day of class.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be at least 25 pages on a 400-page book. And you wait till the night before and says, I'm up against the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
When you know D well you had the whole semester to get that done. Skip, they had from February of last year, 2019, until July 15th of 2020. And you talk about a deadline? What deadline?
You missed the deadline? I don't
know. Man, I like somebody bad. Man, I was going to have me a 50th birthday party. You 49. Huh? You know 50 was coming up.
Huh?
Oh, man, I was going to have that thing. That thing was going to be lit, but you know, man, that thing snuck up on me.
Or you forgot your 50th birthday.
Exactly.
You missed the deadline. I don't think you're going to miss the deadline.
And plus, Dak knows, Skip, this is what Dak knows. Anytime there's a shortage of something, the price skyrockets.
Mm-hmm.
Skip, I'm trying to go to the store and get a Lysol wipes and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Can't find them. But when you do find them, I'm like, hold on. Just 5 months ago, this thing was $2 for 3-pack.
Yep.
Now you're charging me 10 for one?
Mm-hmm. Good
Dak
point.
Dak said, hold on. There's a quarterback shortage out there.
Yep.
I know the good ones. I consider myself a good one, no matter what they think of me.
Yep.
I consider myself a good one. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen, Skip. There's a good chance that Deshaun Watson going to sign a contract.
Yeah.
And he's going to be 40 or damn near 40.
I believe he'll be 40-plus, yeah.
Now, guess what?
Should be.
There's another guy that won the MVP last year, unanimous. Now, he comes back and put together another season. He's going to be 40.
Agreed.
He
could be 50.
How do you expect Dak to ever take another $30 million contract
okay.
when he's seen guys before and after him get 40-plus?
Is Dak better than Deshaun?
No, I would no.
Is Dak better than Lamar?
No. But here's the thing.
Dak better than Mahomes? Obviously not.
But, Skip, it's the one position that when you come up, it's not
okay,
being
I got
it's being last assigned.
All right. Now, here I will criticize Jerry Jones. The Bible says pride goeth before the fall. Jerry has huge pride. And it can just flip angry at a moment's notice. Yes. And once it goes angry, it's hard for him to get it back. Mm-hmm. I think he got angry back in September. Yahoo reported he was mad at Todd France, the agent, and miffed at Dak. And I don't think Jerry ever could quite let it go. Mm-hmm. Sometimes his feelings he will prioritize more than winning.
Right.
Sometimes.
Right.
And in this case, I believe he became alienated from Dak Prescott because Dak never tried to play son to him. Dak never tried to kiss up, buddy up.
Dak ain't going on no vacation with the Jones family.
Nope. He is not doing what Tony Romo used to do or what a lot of stars.
Yeah.
Michael Irvin, Dez Bryant, Zeke.
Go over to the eyes and eat.
Yes. Nope. And because of that, the distance has grown between the quarterback and the owner. And because the owner, in the end, his pride is paramount to him. It's all about pride. It's about manhood. It's about, mm-hmm. and if he feels like you've done him wrong, mm-hmm. I'm just not sure it's ever going to get healed. I'm seriously not. Yeah. That's how he is built. Mm-hmm. And this man is very proud in a good way himself.
Right.
And it's how he's built. Boom, clash. Yeah. It just feels like it's heading the wrong direction. It feels like he's heading out of town.
Skip, okay? You know how this, the older generation.
Yep.
Skip, they stuck in their ways. Mm. When something happens, stick a fork in it. Ain't no sense in talking to daddy. You know how he is. Let it go.
Trust me, that's what those Jones kids say about daddy.
Yeah.
You know how he is.
Hey, they said the same thing about my grandfather. We knew how he was.
Yep.
Ain't no sense in wasting. I might need this breath somewhere down the line. Ain't no sense in me wasting trying to change your mind. No mercy.
It's well known that Bill Belichick runs a tight ship in Foxborough. And according to Willie McGinnis, the relationship between Belichick and new Patriot Cam Newton can work if Cam buys into the Patriot way. McGinnis thinks Cam will, quote, respect that he's going to an organization that has had a lot of success without him. So, Shannon, in your opinion, will Cam buy into the Patriot way?
Yes, why wouldn't he? You see, Skip, I think Cam gets a bad rap. I think because Cam has a big personality, he dresses a certain way, people automatically assume he's a problem in the locker room. I've never heard any reports that Cam was a problem. So why would he be a problem in another locker room? Now, we've seen guys go from other places. We heard what Corey Dillon was. We saw situations with Randy Moss and Ocho Cinco. Have that ever been reported with Cam Newton? So why would Cam Newton have a problem in the Patriots locker room? See, he gets a bad rap. There's all this perception that Cam's a bad teammate, that Cam's a problem. Why? Because he celebrates? Because he dabbed? Because he did the Superman? I'm just trying to figure where is this coming from that Cam would have a problem? He said he was wondering, like, okay, maybe my antics, maybe my celebrations. Because when his agent told him that New England might have some interest, he's like, well, wait a minute. How many Coach Belichick's going to go mesh? Mm. Because I do what I do. You know, I do what I do on the field. I've never heard of Cam being a problem. And if he was a problem, they did a great job of keeping it quiet. But it's hard for me to believe that a guy of Cam's talent and Cam's profile, it would have gotten out if he was a problem in the locker room.
If he was a problem
at any point in time,
yeah.
It would have gotten out. So I believe Cam will be just fine in the Patriots locker room. I think a lot of this gets blown out of proportion. For the most part, every guy that's gone there has been modeled. It's just that some of the guys that he's taken from other places. So why would you automatically assume that Cam was a problem and he would have a problem here when he wasn't a problem there?
Okay, I got you. And to your point, Belichick has taken chances on a lot of very talented players who had issues elsewhere.
Yes.
Randy Moss, he was a pretty model citizen. I know he started to go a little haywire there at the end, and after a Monday night game at Miami, Belichick said, that's enough, you're out.
Right.
And
he wanted to get paid.
Okay.
Corey Dillon ran for 1,500 yards.
Okay. through the time that Chad Johnson was Chad Ochocinco. I was very close with him, and Chad Ochocinco got a shot to go play with Tom Brady as kind of a last hurrah.
Right.
And I believe to this day, Chad will tell you that it didn't work for him to leave Chad Ochocinco at the door because it's who he was.
Correct.
It's what fueled him. He needed to be himself.
Right.
He needed to do the River Dance, which is still the all-time greatest ever. It's just like, way to go, Chad. You just blew the top off celebrations with that one. If I look at the highlight, I'll watch it like 15 straight times. But the point is, he checked Ochocinco at the door. He went back to just plain old Chad Johnson.
Right.
He was a little overwhelmed and, dare I say, intimidated by the Patriot way.
Right.
And it showed in his performance.
Right.
He was flat. He looked average. He felt average. He played average.
Well, I think the thing was, Skip, when he first got there and he goes into the meeting room and Coach Belichick turns on the film and he's yelling at Tom Brady.
Because of the Jets playoff loss. He put that tape in on the first day of camp. Right. They had lost a playoff game at home to Mark Sanchez and company. And he put that tape in and blast Brady over it.
Ocho had never yelled at.
No. Nope.
So he's like, hold on, wait a minute.
Okay.
That's Tom Brady you yelling at. That's Tom Brady you cursing. I got no chance.
Okay. Now, back to Cam. I disagree with your premise here because I respect Cam for who he is. And he was not a problem. He was not an off-the-field problem.
Right.
But he was Cam Newton.
Right.
To me, his personality is the biggest we've ever seen in a quarterback. I'm talking historically.
Right.
We've never seen this. His aura, his sheer physical size, he's a huge human.
Yes.
Who is highly capable of imposing his physical will on a defense in ways we have never, ever seen.
Okay.
And because of that, he needs to be Cam. The Patriot way has to be more of the Cam way if he's going to be Cam Newton of 2015, which a lot of people expect.
But my thing is, are you saying...
You can't tell him not to be yourself anymore.
But the Patriots released a hype video. When did they ever release a hype video of somebody?
Okay, well, maybe it's a new day.
Okay.
Bill Belichick just did a Subway commercial.
Right.
It may be he is mellowed. It may be that we've entered into a new realm here post-Brady. This was the Patriot way. And to me, you're going to have to mellow enough to allow it to be the Cam way. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean it in a great way.
I just think the Patriot way is, Skip, it's all about the team. It's not about you. It's not about your individual stats. The most important stat is the collective stat is the W. And so you come to work on time. You do what you're supposed to do. You meet. You be courteous.
Okay.
You respect your teammates.
All right, that's all we fine. Good. You can't take Cam out of Cam. You have to conform a little bit to his way, which is however he wants to dress, however he wants to wear his hair, just let it go.
Yeah,
he's great.
Yeah.
Just do that.
Right.
Whatever he wants to post on social, just look the other way. Let it be. If he wants to speak his considerable mind, which he will do on occasion, when he is prompted, when he is provoked by something he sees, he will speak out about it. You got to let that go because in the past, that's been sort of conditioned out of the team. You don't speak out. You have to be careful with the media.
You remember when Malcolm Butler tweeted and Tom Brady started liking everything that Malcolm was tweeting? After the Super Bowl. And there have been times that players and have said things and Tom has liked that. But Skip, he let Gronk be Gronk.
Yeah, it was lighthearted Gronk. Like it wasn't, there was nothing controversial especially about it. I guess you could say his partying was, but it was seen as happy-go-lucky Gronk, right?
And so for me, Skip, and you know, you see LeGarrette Blount, every time he scored a touchdown, he poses with the Minutemen. And so, Coach, I don't think Cam's going to be a problem as long as Cam does his job.
Okay. So to me, I never thought that locker room leadership was Cam's strongest suit. Where he leads is on the field with playmaking.
Mm-hmm.
You have to let him be who he is on and off the field. You can't expect him to be Brady in the locker room. Brady was strong in the locker room. Mm-hmm. That was a gift of his, is to say, to be that locker room buffer. Okay, he's a bad guy. He's a dictator, the coach is. We're okay. We're doing this together. Right. We're going to win in spite of him. I don't think that's Cam. That's not the way he operates.
Right.
But if you give Cam the football, let him throw it, let him run it, play to Cam's strengths, that inspires a football team. But the way Cam fuels himself was with the Superman and with the first down and with all that, it's part of who he has always been. And by the way, that's the way he competed against Tim Tebow at Florida.
Right.
That's the way he won a national championship at Blinn, a national championship at Auburn. And that is the way he went 15-1 and won MVP and got them to a Super Bowl.
Well, Skip, I do believe that Cam leadership, maybe he's different than what Brady does. But I just think the thing is that the quarterback needs to echo what the coach is saying. Skip, I remember a time that, you know, after the first couple of days of training camp, Skip, you're tired, you're aching.
Yep.
You've been in those pads. And Mike's like, okay, we're in pads again. And everybody's like, oh, man, God, hey, man, Sean. They look here, bro. The man say we're in pads. We got 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Get them pads on, let's get to work. As simple as that, Skip. I say, you complaining about it is not going to cause him to take us out the pad. We might as well go ahead and make the best of this situation and let's get it done. Let's have fun with it. And I believe that's what Cam's going to do. And that's what a leader does is that he...
Okay, that's fine. Will he do that?
Yes, I don't know for absolutely. Sure. Okay. Absolutely.
Will he allow Bill Belichick to ream him out in a film session or a practice? Can Bill stop practice, blow that whistle, and say, Cam, what are you doing?
Yes,
what are you thinking?
I believe he will. That's not normal, but that's normal in New England. And so, Skip, I mean, if you're in Tampa and you're not buying no mink, no fur coat, no winter clothes, but all of a sudden you go to a cold weather city,
yep.
You got to dress appropriate. Well, you go into a situation where the coach chastises his players openly. So you have to understand that. Cam knew what he was getting in, because guess what? I believe Cam talked to Coach Belichick. I believe Cam talked to the owner, and they gave him an idea of what to expect coming to New England. And he also has know people that played for Coach Belichick.
Okay.
So this is not going to be a secret to him.
Okay. It will behoove Coach Belichick not to try to coach the Cam out of camp.
Right.
That's my point.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree.
You guys have been watching Cam's social media, I'm sure, like I have. And I probably didn't pay attention to it before, but he looks readier than ever mm-hmm. to prove something. He looks so fit. I mean, the guy is motivated beyond belief, I think, to make a name for himself and start the right way. So I'm looking forward to watching it. No mercy. After Patrick Mahomes signed the largest contract in NFL history, our friend Rob Parker wrote a column saying everyone should pump the brakes on Kansas City. And Rob said this, guys, there's a good chance the Chiefs don't win another Super Bowl during Mahomes' 12-year contract. Mm. Rob Parker is with us now. Rob, state your case.
You know, I get it. Everybody's excited. You know, Shannon's on board now after he didn't even pick them for the Super Bowl. But now he's all in. He thinks they're going to win every time out. And all I'm saying is go look at the history of the NFL. When Kurt Warner and the Rams, the greatest show on turf, nobody would have ever believed that they wouldn't have won another Super Bowl, but they didn't. Aaron Rodgers, when they won with the Packers, you would have thought they would have won. They haven't even been back to the Super Bowl. And you can even Russell Wilson and the Legion of Boom, right? What about them? With that defense and Russell Wilson, you would have assumed that they would have won 2 or 3. They haven't won anything.
Well, they had one.
Well, they won one.
What about Pete Carroll?
Well, but they didn't win it, and that's my point. And the other thing is, even Skip, you and Tom Brady, and you can give Brady all the credit you want and everything, but let's just be honest. He went 10 years. There was a 10-year drought of them not winning a Super Bowl. Do you remember that, Skip? Nobody. I mean, people act like that didn't happen.
I remember after 9 years, not 10, 9.
It was, all right, whatever you wanted, it was almost 10 years, a full decade without winning. So my point is that you can be great. And one other example is Dan Marino, who threw 48 touchdowns his second year, went to the Super Bowl. Everybody just assumed, oh, yeah, Marino and the Dolphins, they're going to win and they're going to do this. They never won it. They never win again. Dan Marino played 17 years in the NFL. So before you give Patrick Mahomes 3, 4, 5 Super Bowls, just realize that it doesn't happen that often, and dynasties are very difficult to put together.
I agree. They are very difficult, Rob. And the thing is, you look at Kurt Warner, at the time of Kurt Warner won his first one, he's already 28 years of age. Pat Mahomes has another 4 or 5 years before he reaches that age. Dan Marino is a very compelling point. And the thing is that what I like most about Kansas City is that when they got Honey Badger, they improved in their secondary. They re-signed Chris Jones. The thing that hurt Dan is that they never had a defense. What hurt Aaron Rodgers? He's only had one top five scoring defense, and the year he had it, guess what he did, Rob? He won the Super Bowl. So the Green Bay front office let him down. I do not believe Andy Reid and that front office will let Patrick Mahomes down. Their core players are signed at the bare minimum for the next 2 years. So I'm not saying he's going to win 5, 6, 7, 10, but for me, I think there's a greater chance he wins 1 or 2 then there's a likelihood that he does not win one or two.
Hmm. Well, that's not very dynastic, is it? One or two?
I already told you, Skip Bayless. We winning one of the next two.
One of the next two?
Yeah.
So you in 12 more years of contract, you say he'll win two more Super Bowls?
Yep, that's right? What I told you.
Okay, so Rob, to your point, I said that over the next 12 years, Patrick will get to two Super Bowls and win one more. That would be an accomplishment because you did. I read your piece, Rob. It was well written, well conceived, unusually, but it was. And yet, you make very compelling points. It's just hard to sustain in this league,
especially football.
It's just hard. Everybody, you got reverse order drafting, mm-hmm. you got free agency, you got caps. It's hard. And so I do think, Rob, it points up just how great Tom Brady was. And I hear you about your one stretch. I counted it last night just to make sure. 9 years, he got to two Super Bowls and lost both of them to, of all quarterbacks, Eli Manning. That's what happened in that stretch. But remember, he opened his career by winning 3 out of 4 in the first 4 years he was starting. He closed his career in New England going to the Super Bowl 4 times in 5 years and winning 3. And in the one he lost, he set the all-time playoff record for passing yards in a game. Well, that's pretty spectacular. That's like a dynasty start and a dynasty finish mm-hmm. wrapped into, and it winds up, it adds up to 9 and 20 years. It just points up how phenomenal, how off the chart that accomplishment was. But back to your Marino point, I'm going to give Patrick Mahomes one thing over the Marino that I covered and watched fairly closely. Patrick is more coachable than Dan Marino was. You worked with him, Shane, so you know. He was an all-time. I thought he was the greatest thrower of football that I've ever seen. I know you guys talk about him. Whoa, could he? But he didn't like to run the football, so he didn't want to call running plays. He wanted to throw it every down to his detriment. And his defenses were not great, so he had the one off-the-charts year, mm-hmm. and he lost to, no shame, Joe Montana. Right. He got outgunned by Joe Montana mm-hmm. in the Super Bowl, and then he never got close to going back.
No.
Okay.
And Skip, you mentioned that. He had, in Dan Marino's career, he had one 1,000-yard rusher, and it was the other Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yep.
So let that sink in for just a second. And when you can't run the football, if you just throw, you don't have a defense that can withstand that. So now you throw, you put your defense right back on the field, and teams go up and down the field on you. But I like Patrick Mahomes for this. He's young enough. They have their core players tied. See, the thing is, what football is so difficult, Skip, basketball will trade their best player to a team that's been in the playoffs. So will baseball. Football, they're not trading their best player to a team that's going to the playoffs. If they trade their best player, he's going to a bad team. So you don't get even better by taking someone else's best players. And then free agency, Skip, the good teams, they can't sign top-notch free agents because there isn't cap space. So I think that has a lot to do with why we don't see dynasties in football like we've seen in the other sports.
Here's the other part, Shannon, too. When you talk about the NFL and its landscape, look at the other good young quarterbacks mm-hmm. in Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, who will put up competition for Patrick Mahomes. And then if you go over to the NFC, you still have some veterans.
Yeah, Russell Wilson's still not going anywhere.
Who are still trying to pad their resumes as they end their career and hope to have a run like Brady at the end, where maybe you could sneak in and you're Aaron Rodgers and win one or two in your last 5 or 6 years or something like that. So I just think that the road is way more difficult. It's not to take anything away from him and what he was able to accomplish. But even last year, he didn't rank in any of the major statistical categories for quarterbacks in the NFL. None. And people go right away, oh, well, he was injured. He played 14 games. He went from 50 touchdowns to 26. And when you even factor in the injury thing, look at Drew Brees. He played 11 games and had more touchdowns than Patrick Mahomes. So I'm just saying, look at the numbers. I'm not saying they figured him out, but he was not nearly as dominant as he was a year ago.
Yeah, and to your point, Rob, he did lose last year back-to-back home games to Indy and the Houston Texans, and his QBRs were very low in both those games by his standards. And then I keep trying to convince Shannon of this. He was pretty lucky to win the one Super Bowl he just won. He threw a late third quarter interception, down 20-10. I thought, is that ball game? He threw another one early in the fourth quarter, down 20-10. I thought, uh-oh, is that the end of this Kansas City team? And then he got away with that 3rd-and-15 punt that he threw with a pass rusher in his face. He just threw it up for grabs, and Tyreek came back and fair caught it. He had to wave and fair catch it, and it went for 44 yards and saved the game.
Rob.
Turned the game.
Well, that's just Kyle Shanahan is the one who gave up that Super Bowl.
Well, he did, thanks to Jimmy
Rob,
G.
But you and I both know Patrick Mahomes should have two Super Bowls already. He should have beat Tom Brady the year before. If they call that old ticky-tack, if a D4 doesn't line up offside, they got the game won. So he should
have won that game. Yes. I'll give you that. But that wasn't the Super Bowl. That was the AFC Championship game.
They were going to get to that. Go ahead.
All I'm saying is it ain't as easy as people want to make it out to be.
No,
and everybody's already crowning them. Be careful about that. I always go back to Kurt Warner and the Rams. You know this, Shannon. That team was dynamic. Ain't no way people thought. You remember even when the Patriots beat them? People couldn't believe that.
Yeah, what happened? They got old and they got injured. Marshall started having knee problems. Kurt Warner was already, we have to realize, he was already 28. And his body started breaking down. The guys got old. Patrick Mahomes, this team is young, Rob. Their oldest skill position player is Travis Kelce at 30. Tyreek is 26. Hardman is 22. My homeboy is 24.
Okay, so predict 4 Super Bowls.
Yes.
Seriously. Come on.
3 Super Bowls with 4 MVPs would be great for my homeboy. Mm. But, Rob, if you compare every season to 50 touchdowns and 5,000, Patrick Mahomes is going to be a bum because there's a less chance that he'll put that number, those numbers up again than what he did in his second year.
No doubt.
All right, Rob, appreciate it. Always good to have you with us. Good to see you.
Yes.
It is good,
yes, it is.
Shannon.
Thank you.
Keep your opinions to yourself. Rob, have a good one. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
No mercy.
All right, guys, just this morning, Ezekiel Elliott got pretty fired up on Twitter in a series of 5 tweets. He said, quote, "There are a lot of great backs in this league, but I don't understand why the media has to talk down on my game just to uplift other backs. We all are talented football players and can ball." He also added this, guys, "Check the stats. Since I entered this league, I have dominated year in, year out. Put some respect on my name." Fired up here. Shannon, what is going on?
Well, Skip, I think the thing is that people don't view Zeke anymore as the best back in football. And last year was the first time he didn't lead the league in average rush yards per game. The first 2 years, Skip, I mean, first 2 or 3 years, two of the first 3 years, he led the league in rushing.
Mm-hmm.
Had he not missed those 6 games, I believe it would have been a perfect 3-for-3.
But still in yards per game.
Still in yards per game.
Okay.
Zeke, what Zeke needs to understand is that this is what happens when you're a great back or you're a great player. They measure you by your previous greatness. And when they see drop-offs, they want to know why. And so, and I'm not one of those guys that believes Zeke is not a great back, that Zeke isn't the same back. Zeke is the exact same back. He just doesn't get the opportunities. And the offense is evolving. Dak throws more. They fall behind more. So, therefore, Zeke is less of an option. Skip, you can't run Zeke down by 21. You just can't. You can't run your way back into a ball game. You have to throw your way back into the game. So Zeke is not getting the touches. Zeke, I get it. But in TV, in this business, our job is to critique. Our job is to critique and analyze. Sometimes we have to offer harsh criticism of a said player. And it's not talking down on you. It's about highlighting. And when you look, and I've always said this, Skip, I don't look at Zeke as a breakaway back. I look at Zeke as a power back. There have been very few power backs, Skip, that had home run ability.
Yep.
Adrian Peterson had home run ability. Earl Campbell, Skip, you remember Earl. He could go 80. Even though at that size, he could go 80. That's not Zeke. We've seen Zeke have one big 80-yard run, Skip, and that came on a screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at Zeke as a 5-to-8-yard guy, and he'll get you a bunch of those. But I don't look at him as going the distance like a big Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is a banging back that can go 80, 90. That's not Zeke's game. Zeke is okay. The likelihood of a running back staying on the top pedestal for 7, 8, 9 years, Skip, that's just unrealistic. That's just unrealistic. So, Zeke, don't – well, I guess you can take it personal and go out there and rush for 2,000 and say, nah, how you like me now? But I don't think Zeke is approaching this the right way. Because, Saquon is a very good back, and they're looking at Saquon's ability to make people miss and get the home run. Christian McCaffrey, what are we talking about, Skip? We're talking about a guy that went over 100 catches, had 100 catches, 1,000 yards receiving, 1,000 yards rushing. Only two other guys had ever done that before. Mm. So, Zeke, if you are what you think you are and what you're saying, that people play with your name, that's the thing I love about sports, Skip. I can prove it. I can prove me right, and in the process of proving me right, I can prove you wrong.
That is correct, and there's nothing I can do to stop you.
Nothing.
Except try to play defense, and I don't play defense.
Right.
So I can't sit in this chair and stop you from doing anything on the football
field. Not one thing.
If you're that guy, you're that guy, and I got to sit back and say, I give it up.
Right.
So my first question about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in a row tweets, flipped his switch? where did this come from?
I have no idea.
It's not like nobody's been talking about Zeke having an off year, having the worst year of the four that he's played in the National Football League.
That was going on all season.
All season. And it's been a fairly constant theme through the offseason. And just me, right here, right now, I'm still mourning my quarterback not getting a long-term deal. And it would seem like Zeke could have a little respect for... Well, seriously, a little respect for what just happened. If he were tweeting support of his man, Dak Prescott, they done him wrong, whatever he wants to tweet, I'm all in.
You know what this is about, Skip? You know what this is really about? That damn Madden rating. I don't know what
it could be, but that really gets him. That sticks in the craw.
Like, you're actually that. I get it's just a rating. Skip, and guys get upset.
Even rookies, CeeDee Lamb's upset, and he hasn't played a down yet.
Jerry Judy's
upset. They gave him a 75. Jerry Judy walked off an interview with the Madden guy who ranked him low.
And who else? Some receiver, another guy got upset.
Yeah.
Oh, Deshaun. I was like, Skip, I'm like, dude. It's just the rating. But everybody wants to be not everybody.
Is that it?
99.
Is that what happened?
It's got to be, Skip. It's got to be. Because if I'm not mistaken, he was, as far as stiff arms, he wasn't even on the stiff arm rating. And I think Saquon was ranked higher than he was. And Christian McCaffrey was ranked higher than he was. Maybe Chubb. So these guys taking this Madden thing too far, Skip. They really are.
And I remind you, ESPN just came out with its rankings of, after interviewing a lot of personnel directors and players, remember, coaches, and they ranked the top 10 running backs.
Right.
And one evaluator said, I wouldn't even put him in my top 10 because he's about 60 to 70% of what he is, what he used to be.
And Zeke responded to that, remember?
He did.
He said, that guy must be faded.
He must be faded. Okay. So, Zeke, I love you, man. I still got your picture on my little nightstand. But the truth is, the third tweet is, and I've heard this from my partner across the table, women lie, men lie, stats don't.
Right.
Okay, let's look at the stats. How about it? Let's look at, for each of the first 4 years in the league, your yards per game have dropped.
Right.
And they dropped precipitously last year to 85.
Yes.
What's my favorite stat, or when it comes to Zeke, least favorite? What have I told you? if you throw back at me, well, they became a passing football team, or they were forced to throw too much because they fell behind. Here's the stat that disqualifies that notion. On first down, Ezekiel Elliott had the second most carries in the National Football League. On first down, he had the 19th worst yards per carry on first down.
Mm-hmm.
Do the math. Second most carries, 19th in yards per carry on first down. Well,
they
kept handing it and handing it and handing it, and you kept going zero, minus one, one, minus one, zero, minus one. And I'm sitting in my little man cave just up the street from here, and I'm doing this. I'm falling off my chair. I'm falling on the floor. Mm-hmm. Zeke, come on. And again, no creativity, because Jason Garrett believed in Ezekiel Elliott. He just said he makes his own holes. Let's not trick it up.
Right.
Let's just say there's no Kyle Shanahan going on here. There's no misdirection, sleight of handoff, right?
In other words, you said there's no creativity in their run game.
Not at all. They're just saying, here, go. Just pick your own hole. They used to do that with Emmitt Smith.
Right.
North Turner used to tell me he doesn't like a play call. He doesn't like to have to hit the five hole, the three hole, whatever hole. Just give him the ball. So they started calling plays in the huddle for Emmitt. Emmitt right on a handoff, or Emmitt left on a handoff, or Emmitt toss right or toss left. Right. But no more holes because he runs to daylight.
Right.
It's his gift of just sense
and running
it,
behind those hogs.
Yeah, the big old hogs.
He saw a lot of daylight.
But Emmitt at 5'9", you couldn't find him for a while.
Exactly.
And once you found him, it was too late.
He was secondary.
He was 8 yards. Okay.
But Skip, I don't get it. I mean, and why now? I mean, people have been critiquing you. Zeke said you're not showing the burst that we saw at Ohio State,
mm-hmm.
that you ran 4.4 at the combine, but you don't project, you don't run 4.4s.
And remember
on the
stat
field.
From last
right.
year, only 4 20-plus yard runs.
Right.
And remember this, speaking of stats, this is a fact. He had a 32-yard run at Chicago on that Thursday night while the game was still hanging in the balance late second quarter.
Right.
And then he had a 4-yard run. And then I'm thinking, take it home. Eric Dickerson we had on the other day, I think greatest running back ever. And Eric's saying, I'm giving me the damn ball, right?
Yeah.
And what did Zeke do at that point?
Zeke?
I need out.
He went out.
I need a rest here. What?
Well, Skip, and also Zeke has to understand is that they still view Zeke as the engine that drives this offense.
All right.
So they really gear up to try to, especially on first down, because they're basically saying, we want the ball in Dak's hand. We do not want 21 to run us in the ground because that's what happened in his rookie year.
Okay, were they too predictable?
Yes.
First and 10, 21's getting the ball.
Right.
Right up the gut.
And they said, look, let's shut him down. Let's make it second and 10. Let's make it second and 9 so we know they're going to throw it.
Okay. And remember this, as they morphed into a passing team, mm-hmm. especially within games and second halves because they were trailing, do you realize Zeke's catches fell precipitously last year?
Right.
I don't know why. He doesn't have the greatest hands, but once he catches it, he can do some damage.
Well, Skip, they had Pollard.
Yeah.
Randall Cobb got a lot of catches because this was the first year, Skip, they really had. I mean, Randall Cobb, I like Measley Beasley, but he was an upgrade over Cole Beasley.
I thought so.
And so Gallup came along.
He did.
So now his production is up. You got Amari going to be Amari. He's the number one, so he's going to get a lot of targets.
Yep.
Randall Cobb, and then you splitting the third down plays with Pollard.
And by the way, I said Zeke doesn't have great hands. Every once in a while, he makes a great catch.
Right.
But the routine one sometimes, he's looking upfield and he doesn't have.
But we're not looking at him as a pass-catching back like we look at Christian McCaffrey.
No.
Like we look at Kamara.
No.
Like we look at some of these other guys that can catch the ball out of the backfield. I think Saquon does a great job of catching the football.
Okay, so I'm going to give Zeke this. He actually underperformed or looked more overpaid less than DeMarcus Lawrence and Amari last year, even maybe Jalen Smith.
Right.
He underperformed less than those guys did. He was not bad. He didn't quite live up to the money he got, which was $90 million over 5 years. When I expected him to explode, he did not. But I love what he said in his last tweet.
Mm-hmm.
The last one is, I do appreciate the standards you guys hold me to.
No, you don't.
Well,
because that's why you tweeted 5 times.
Okay. But I promise you no one holds me to a higher standard than myself. Okay, great. Once again, I'm back to just show me.
Right.
Just go do it. But you don't need to tweet about it. Just do it.
But Skip, you know how this works. When you're a rookie and you have a phenomenal season, that's the standard.
Mm-hmm.
The standard for Patrick Mahomes is 5,050 because his first year starting, that's what he was. So that's the 1,600 yards, Zeke. That's your standard.
He dominated this league.
That's your standard.
He tore it apart. That was it.
If you came out and got 1,200, people are like, man, he had a pretty good season.
Yep.
And then you go 1,200, 1,400, 1,600. No, but you go 1,600 out the gate.
And you take a screen pass at Pittsburgh all the way home.
Yes.
Take my breath away.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, hit your head on the goalpost on the last play of the game, even though somebody took a bad angle, as you pointed out on tape, right?
Yes.
But that guy was our guy. You know, that guy dominated the league.
So that's the expectation. Yep. People have these expectations of Dak. Dak in his rookie season won 13 games. That's the standard.
Dak in his first playoff game threw for 305 and 3 touchdowns. Not bad.
So that's what you Kyler Murray is going to be judged by what he did. So Kyler Murray got a bullet on his rookie season.
All right.
You rookie of the year. I mean, Zeke, what do you expect?
Yep.
The bar doesn't lower as you get older. People don't care anything about that.
Nope. I still love you, Zeke.
That's a good sign. That's a good sign. And I just saw, guys, he just retweeted someone who was standing up for him. So hopefully he's listening. He heard this. Yeah, a lot of pressure for the guy. No mercy.